In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Indeed, it is time for us to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan Adams here with us in studio. Good Monday, Mr. Adams.
And a good Monday to you as well. How are things?
Good, good. You had a nice weekend, opening weekend of The Graduate at Penobscot Theater.
Yeah, no, it was a good weekend. Went through Pay What You Will, first previews. We opened. We had a lovely matinee with followed by a talkback yesterday. Got a couple days away, and then we're back at it starting on Wednesday. It's been crowds have been good. The show's really good. Your young protege Alex Sayers does yeoman's work as Benjamin Braddock.
Nice.
It's really impressive. Like he's on stage 95% of the time. There's one brief scene that he's not in. Otherwise, he is not only on stage but the focal point of the action, and he's really doing remarkable work. As is AJ Mooney, who's playing the iconic Mrs. Robinson role. But yeah, I mean, everybody's working really hard, having a good time, and the audience reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. So hopefully that'll continue going forward over the next couple of weeks.
Very nice. Looking forward to seeing it. Hopefully later this week. Also a big football weekend. Let's cut right to the chase. You or Stella, who's in the early lead?
You know, it's funny. We were at odds on fully half of the games on the week one slate. And as it stands right now, with one game difference left between us, I have one game on her. I've got four. She's got three. The ones we agreed on, we were generally correct. I think we went, I want to say like 5 or 6 out of 7 on those ones.
Wow.
You know, we both leaned into New Orleans, which a lot of people did. So we're hardly alone in that. But yeah. The early Monday night game, I've got the Jets, she's got the Lions. So if she gets that, it's a wash. If I get it, I start off with a two-game lead, which, frankly, I'm going to need because, as we all know, she only gets stronger as the season progresses.
And Kibbles and Picks has its own Twitter page now. And I am following. I encourage anybody to do the same. It's at Kibbles and Picks.
Yep. Yep, we started a Facebook page a couple of years ago, and I was getting ready to launch the first piece of this season, and then I'm like, you know what, it's time for Stella to join the Twitterverse, and so and so here we are.
No, well, because she has no trouble keeping it to less than 140 characters.
No, she's got a knack for you know, being nice and succinct in her analysis.
Brevity is the soul of dog.
True that.
Let's talk movies. What did you see this weekend?
I saw a couple. I saw the movie Peppermint, starring Jennifer Garner. And I saw Searching, starring John Cho.
Mm.
Which one would you like to talk about?
Peppermint.
Peppermint.
Seems tasty.
It's interesting. We've seen in recent years that female-led action movies have become more of a viable concern. I mean, they've always been a viable concern, but now studios are actually recognizing them as such. And so basically what we get with Peppermint is a pretty standard, like, revenge thriller, only instead of Liam Neeson, it stars Jennifer Garner.
Hmm.
So the basic gist is Jennifer Garner plays Riley North is the character's name. She's a suburban mom living outside of Los Angeles. She's got a lovely family, but, financially things are a little tight, but, you know, there's a lot of love and all that jazz. Circumstances lead to them going to the neighborhood's winter carnival. But while at the winter carnival, tragedy strikes. You see, Riley's husband associates with some less than savory characters.
Mm.
Like, he's not a bad dude,
no.
But his friends are bad dudes who are trying to get him to do bad things, things that he refuses to do. However, local drug lord Diego Garcia doesn't see it that way. and sends some of his underlings to take care of things and send a message. This results in Riley watching her family gunned down in front of her. The title of the film, Peppermint, comes from the peppermint ice cream that that her daughter is holding and then not holding.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Lord.
And then she goes into the system to try to get justice, but as tends to be the case in these situations, Diego Garcia, deep pockets and a long reach, and so the system lets her down, and the assailants go free. She snaps, is remanded into psychiatric custody, but escapes and disappears. 5 years later, people start turning up dead, people associated with the Riley North case. And it turns out that she has spent those 5 years learning how to, punch people and shoot guns and stab and blow stuff up and et cetera, et cetera. And so she basically unleashes a one-woman wave of vigilantism on this particular drug cartel. And let me tell you, Rich, the body count is staggering in this movie. Like, she kills a lot of people. Meanwhile, there are some law enforcement folks, a couple of detectives played by John Gallagher Jr., best known from The Newsroom, and John Ortiz. And they're basically trying to track her down from the law enforcement side of things. Meanwhile, the cartel guys are also trying to get their hands on her. And she's just shooting the bejesus out of everything. Like, lots of, shooting people, stabbing people. She's got, brass knuckles. She wears a bulletproof vest and just, gets the crap kicked out of her, a la, Bruce Willis and Die Hard. But, keeps going. And, she's not going to rest until everyone from the bottom all the way up the ladder to Diego Garcia himself pays the price for taking everything away from her.
How is she as an action hero?
She's great. Mm-hmm. The movie itself is not super good. It's pretty formulaic. There are a lot of narrative inconsistencies and stuff like that. But her performance is legit. Which kind of surprised me, and then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, she kind of cut her teeth doing this sort of thing because she was on Alias, and she played Elektra in the two in Daredevil, and then got her own movie. And again, those movies were not good, but she definitely has that sort of action hero sensibility. And granted, it's been like a decade or more since she did any of this stuff. But when you have that sort of comfort level, it doesn't go away, and that sort of ease that she sort of operates under while in this role translates really nicely. Like, it's a really good performance that you kind of wish was in a better movie. And again, it's super entertaining because it cannot be stressed enough. So many bodies, Rich. It was one point where after the second significant sort of bloodbath, I'm like, man, I should really be keeping count. But we're talking dozens of nameless thugs just gunned down in the name of vengeance by Jennifer Garner. It's again, like, it's not a great movie, but I was certainly entertained. And if you dig this kind of sort of revenge vigilante thriller type thing, you'll have a good time. Again, I've seen better, but one could argue it actually kind of speaks well to growth in the industry that, it doesn't have to be some sort of special event for an action movie to be led by a woman. Women can be the leads in mediocre action movies too. And that's, that's a form of equality in and of itself.
Yes, it is. All right. What about the other one?
Okay. So Searching. Now, I wasn't super familiar with this one going in. The only thing I knew was that it had the sort of stylistic conceit that the entire movie is playing out through screens, communication devices, that sort of thing. We spend a lot of time on laptops and FaceTime on phones. There's some social media stuff, text messaging, online videos, all that stuff kind of coming together in order to tell the story. And I love innovative storytelling like that. It's always exciting to see it. Too often, that is the central sort of reasoning behind the film's existence in the first place, which kind of sucks. Like, you don't want it to feel like superfluous or gimmicky or anything like that. You know, there's innovation's great, but innovation for the sake of innovation isn't necessarily what you want when you're going to the movies. Happily, this one, Searching, I've seen a couple of examples of this in the past, both in film and television. This is easily the best marriage of story and storytelling that I've seen from this particular sort of stylistic choice. John Cho stars. He plays this man, David Kim, who's a single father, who's grieving his wife passed away just about a year ago. He's dealing with his grief in not so healthy ways, and so he's not necessarily seeing the same sort of grieving process that his daughter, Margot, his teenage daughter, is going through. A young lady by the name of I believe Frances La. This is her featured debut. She's very good. So like he doesn't, you know, he's kind of lost connection with his daughter, and they don't really talk anymore, and he doesn't really know what her life is like. He thinks he does, but you know, there are a lot of secrets being kept. And he doesn't realize the extent of this until she disappears. Like she, one night she's just, she's at a study group for her biology class, and then she's just gone. Because they've had this sort of, not contentious, but sort of aloof kind of relationship, it doesn't really occur to him that things have gone badly for some time. And so... he winds up, reaching out to friends and to teachers and whatnot, only to discover that she didn't really have a lot of friends, and to realize that, she was a bit of a loner and wasn't necessarily very happy. Finally, he calls the police, winds up getting hooked up with a detective, Vic, played by Deborah Messing of Will and Grace fame. And she takes the lead on the investigation into Margot's disappearance. And that's basically the story. It's him trying desperately to track down his daughter, to find anyone who might know where she is or where she was going. And that search leads him to go into her laptop, which is where he really starts to uncover this whole other life that his daughter had. Like nothing sordid or unsavory, just like any lonely kid on the internet. Right. Like it's that sort of developing those relationships, virtual ones rather than real life ones. And things grow increasingly complicated, and the clock is ticking. Like she's been gone for 36 hours when he first calls the police, but every minute counts in those sorts of situations. It goes into some pretty dark places. I'm not going to go any farther than that just because, there are some twists and turns to the story that are pretty engaging. It's really a pretty good movie. Like even leaving aside the sort of, the novelty of the style, the aesthetics of the screen time, like they lean pretty heavily on FaceTime as a device. But the truth is, what makes it work is John Cho. Like he's so good in this movie. I think he's a very talented actor, one who has displayed really a tremendous amount of range over the course of his career. He's not someone you necessarily think of in those terms, but I mean, he's gone from Harold and Kumar to Star Trek to this. Like I mean, that's. You don't see a lot of actors being able to be comfortable in all those sorts of frameworks, but he's great. Like as the grieving, increasingly desperate dad, and it's a remarkable performance because he's asked to do so much, to do so much of the heavy lifting, because so much of what we're seeing is like him, just him on a screen, doing a FaceTime call or like a video chat for work. Or having a conversation with his daughter's friends or their parents or whatever. So it's like sometimes all you're getting is just a screen with with sound waves, but it's just so cohesively put together and so well told. Like it's a well-constructed screenplay in terms of the narrative. And so you have that going for you as well. Cho is great. Deborah Messing is great. There are some other great performances too, but the reality is it's the John Cho show. And that's a good thing because he really demonstrates an ability to not only survive this kind of being thrust into these sorts of circumstances, but to thrive. I think like he's really a very strong presence. You wouldn't have necessarily guessed that he would have the sort of charisma to pull something like this off, but he's got that and more. Like he really, I think it's a game changer for him. I think nice. It's going to change the way people look at him as an actor.
Oh, hey, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a really engaging. It's not something you see every day. A lot of times with stuff like this, it's like once the novelty of the aesthetic wears off, you just kind of get bored with it. That's never the case. Like you forget that you're watching something unconventional, and I think that's a rare thing.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge with our movie reviews every Monday on Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.